3, 2. One more
time. Hi, my name is Mike Nagrant, and welcome to Hungry Magazine Culinary Podcasting. All of our podcasts can be found at www.hungrymag.com. This week, we went to the Home and Houseware show at Chicago's McCormick Center, and we caught up with Alton Brown of the Good Eats program on Food Network.
So what are you cooking for the demonstrations?
I'm not cooking, I'm cutting.
What are you cutting?
Poultry.
Yeah?
Raw and cooked poultry, which Americans don't do near enough of.
Yeah.
Americans go to grocery stores and they buy all these little cuts of chicken when they really ought to be doing it themselves. So I'm going to be dealing with some basic understanding of anatomy and some basic procedures for how to kind of get over the fear of cutting stuff up.
I know you're pretty judicious about who you get involved with in terms of
extremely.
Endorsements. Why did you get involved with Shun?
I got involved with Shun because about 4 years ago, they sent me some knives generally speaking, every time I would get a new knife, because I'm a knife collector, I call my knife sharpener. It's a guy who's a professional knife sharpener because I'm not that good, and he knows exactly the kind of edge I like, and he comes by in his little van, and I give him the knives, and he disappears in the van and comes out an hour later and gives me knives, because he knows what kind of edge I like, so we always reset the edges. And so I got a couple of shows.
Is that like the van that was on the show when you did the tomato show?
Good memory. And he comes by the house, and I gave him the Shuns, and he went to his van, and I turned around to go back in the house, and he came back out, and he was looking at the edge and the sunlight, and he gave it back to me and said, "Why don't you just use this for a while?" Never happened before. Never, ever happened. And we started talking, and I realized that the edge architecture on the Shuns was so far and away superior to anything that I'd seen on a German or French knife that I was really intrigued. And I started using the knife and fell so in love with it that I basically called them up and said, "Hi, Alton Brown, I'm going to be your national spokesperson." And they're like, "We can't afford a national spokesperson." We'll work it out.
You can afford Alton Brown.
So we'll work it out. We'll work it out. We'll find a way.
Free knives.
Free knives. And so it's just been a matter of that, and also because they listen to me. I mean, they let me design a line, the Alton's Angles lines, basically off of a drawing on a napkin. They're really great about that. Their engineering is superior. Their metallurgy is superior. And I really like doing business with the Japanese. They're a very honorable bunch of folks.
What's the feedback been on your line with that angle? Is people feel that it's a comfortable fit for?
I think that the people that get it and buy them have really, really loved them. I think that the retail industry is having a very hard time answering the question why. So I have to kind of redouble my efforts in educating people about why I did that and why it works and why I like it. Because if folks in stores can't answer that question, then they can't sell knives. So I know that some of them have done real well, and they've done well off of my website where we sell them. But I think some of them have also languished, which I need to try to fix.
I know I've noticed you've been retooling the website.
Completely relaunched website, and it's going to be rolling out in phases over the next year.
What kind of stuff do you guys have planned?
We're going to be adding a podcast. A regular podcast is going to be coming off of that. And then hopefully, starting next year, there'll actually be a video cast that'll be coming off of that. And we're building the store. We're finally putting some real attention into the store. That part of my company actually has a COO now, so there's somebody to actually do it, which is kind of groovy. So I think there's going to be a lot happening there over the next year. We've ignored it for a long time.
Are you going to take that opportunity to do some of the shows or things that Food Network might not be? You know, I know there's been some discussion about organ meats and things like that you might have wanted to do.
If I can work things out to where Food Network won't mind me doing it, I would love to do a series of downloads maybe that delve into things that perhaps the general public wouldn't accept.
Sure.
You know, places where I have particular interests. Like organ meat, for instance, that other folks probably don't, and Food Network doesn't, or it just doesn't fit, with the Good Eats brand, you know.
I know the other thing you've been serious about is health, you know, with last year, or maybe that was 2 years ago now, but how's that, you know, how's your focus been?
I'm working more and more on that, and trying to put together, may actually be putting together a book that's more health related, you know. Very few. Yeah, there's diet books and there's cookbooks, and I'm trying to find. I'm getting older, you know, and I have a kid, and so nutrition's kind of constantly on my mind. So I'm without having the benefits of being a certified dietitian, I'm having to gather a lot of extra research and talk to a lot of other people to kind of figure out my approach on that. But it's coming along.
Yeah, I think like Paul Prudhomme, how he did all the Louisiana cooking, and he came and turned it up 180 degrees.
Yeah, which I think is going too far. I don't think we have to go that far.
I think moderation. You know, cutting out the high fructose corn syrup or...
Well, I'm trying to think of it as a replacement. You know, it's like in any given dish, you know, having a list of foods and things that I know that I ought to eat more of, instead of thinking in terms of things I shouldn't eat, think in terms of things that I really must eat. And I actually am trying to keep a kind of a log of these, this list of 10 foods that I'm trying to get so many times a week, and trying to redesign dishes to get them into it so that it's not like completely retooling my life, you know. And that's coming along nicely, so I'm working on that.
Great, I appreciate it.
Sure.
Alton Brown also gave a demonstration at the show, and we caught some of that.
Is that my house? No. No, not my house. Not my house. My house kitchen, very, very small. And so that used to be a real house. Actually, there was the White House, and then it became the Brown House. Not brown, you know, but brown in color. And then that neighborhood kicked us out because they didn't want, you know, television riffraff in the neighborhood. One of those. And so we rebuilt it on a soundstage. So now it's a set. And nobody can kick me out of it. Unless I don't pay the mortgage. On the set, we have a chicken. It's in a lot of the opening shots. That chicken came from, it's made out of paper mache, and it originally hung from a parachute. But we took out the parachute because it scared the dog. For some reason, I don't understand quite why. It came from a store in called Southern Seas in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And if I could have bought a truckload of them, I would have. I love that chicken. Well, it's because I've been offered a lot of money for that chicken, but I won't part with it. That's where it came from. Which, yeah, we're thinking about doing a thing on my website where it's like instructions for making your own. You know, get some chicken wire and some newspaper and make your own chicken. Yes, ma'am. Is it true that I got a cooking show from sending in a video? No, I did not get a cooking show by sending in a video. At the time that I was originally shopping Good Eats, Food Network wouldn't look at it because at that time they did everything in-house. They did all of their own productions. And so what happened is we had shot two pilot episodes of Good Eats on film. And Eastman Kodak, who made the film that we shot on, liked the process we were using because we were doing some strange things. And so they put a piece of it on their website as a little piece of streaming video. And about a year after that happened, an executive of Food Network happened to go by Eastman Kodak's site and downloaded it and saw it and called us up the next day. So it was complete luck. Luck. You know, I was about to sign a contract for, you know, like Joe's Network, you know, the 4-H channel or something, just to have work. Luckily, that didn't happen. Yes, ma'am. How much preparation goes into each show? Well, let me put it this way. We now produce between 20 and 22 episodes of Good Eats a year, and it is a full-time, never-stop operation because a huge amount of research has to be put together. Tammy has to start testing recipes. We test gobs of recipes, which is a relatively complicated process. And then the actual writing of the shows, it just takes for stinking ever. And we keep trying to figure out how to like do it like factory work, and it just never works out. So there are small handmade TV shows that, you know, exasperate me to no end. I'd love to find a factory that can make happen. My daughter has already been on the show 6 times. Yeah, in different phases. She played she was in our Honey episode from several years ago. She was like a Teletubby that had botulism in her stomach. And most recently, she was in an avocado show we did. And she was a little blonde girl with the ice cream. That was my daughter. Yeah, so she's relatively good to work with until she gets an agent, then I'll have to quit. Yes. My sister, my nephew, W, all fake. The woman that plays W is my chiropractor. And she would know a spoon from a spatula if I wasn't there to tell her. I have a sister, so that pretty much tells you that. And so I don't have a nephew. And actually, the guy that plays my nephew is about this tall now and has a beard and talks like this. Sounds like Johnny Cash when he talks. So I'm kind of like, I probably got to have to find another one of those. What kind of shows are we working on as we speak? Well, we have a production. We are actually in production right now where we're shooting down in Atlanta. We're working on 2 shows about water. Water. No recipes, just a solid hour of water. Pardon? Actually, water's pretty fascinating stuff. Hard to live on this planet without it. Hard to cook without it. Most cooks have no idea. It's the one ingredient that's in everything, and nobody knows anything about it. So water. We're working on a show about barley, which is my new favorite food. We're working on a show about cinnamon rolls.
That's good. Tammy, we need to test that recipe again. I'm quite satisfied with the glaze on that one.
That's pretty exciting. We're doing a show where we're making tortillas from scratch, which is pretty interesting. I'm not actually expecting anybody to do it because it's gut-wrenching labor, but it's a nice little perspective. What else do we have on the slab? What? Oh, cube steak. Chicken fried steak, country fried steak, and that kind of thing we're working on right now. Is that it? So we have six. I'm missing something. I said barley, tortillas, cinnamon rolls, and the two water shows. So that's it right now. But we've got more. Our contract goes through the end of next year, so there'll be more. And I'm working on a four-hour documentary series called Feasting on Asphalt that's going to be about searching out American road food during a coast-to-coast motorcycle tour. And I'll be leaving for that. Thank you. That's without people to pay me to ride motorcycles. How wonderfully clever of me. But that will start airing in four one-hour segments in July 29th of this year. So I'm pretty excited about that. Because I'm in love with American road food, so hopefully there's still some out there.
You have one over here.
What? Oh, yes, ma'am.
What's your favorite food?
What's my favorite food?
Yes.
Whatever someone else is making. You know, but in all honesty, when I get bored with cooking food, or when I get bored with making Tammy cook food, I cook eggs. Because eggs are always like hitting the reset button. Eggs are fascinating, they can do anything, and so I'll just go off and cook eggs for a while and rise new from my ashes, so to speak. One more question, and then we'll go, before that bird does something. Yes, sir?
You started out with Dog Chef, then you had the culinary composers.
I did. I used to direct television commercials, and then I quit and went to New England Culinary Institute in Montpelier, Vermont. And I've paid off my student loans, I'm proud to say. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. In case you're still sitting here tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I'll be doing this all over again. So thanks very much for coming.
This ends this culinary podcast for Hungry Magazine. Check out www.hungrymag.com for more. Four, three, two.